Anyway, are we started?
Oh, God, my chair's squeaking away.
We've not started, have we? We haven't done
yeah,
a mic.
Yeah, we've started.
We've done a mic test for me. You hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm sure we can. I've left it as it has been set up every other bloody episode.
I was going to say to you something. Yeah, we can talk about the Retroid later, can't we?
Yeah, but you know, I'm going to whinge for once, because it's almost always we start these episodes and you've got something to whinge about.
I did have something to whinge about.
Yeah, well, I've got something to whinge about.
Right,
and this
then
was meant to happen 2 weeks ago when we were meant to record this episode.
So
and
you had to sit on it for 2 weeks. I saw you at the place that you're about to whinge at.
Yeah,
day.
Absolutely. I'm going to whinge about Tesco. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mind Tesco. I like shopping in Tesco. Mm. I hate the Tesco employees that are pushing the trolleys around doing other people's shopping.
They're particularly egregious at that Tesco's.
Yeah. They walk around in threes. They're on their phone. They block up the entire aisle, 1, 2, 3, with their trolleys, just blocking the entire aisle. Or they just park in the middle and they disappear halfway down the aisle. And it's like, well, people need to get past. It's really busy when I'm shopping. Why are you blocking the entire aisle? And it just really gets on my tits. It really makes me angry. I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't get angry by it. But it's like, I know you're doing a job, but can you just not put it to the left-hand side? And rather than having a conversation with Bob and Dave to your left there, actually just do what you're meant to be doing, not just chatting and blocking the entire goddamn aisle.
I don't know what's more annoying, when they put it on the side and block all of the stuff so you can get to it, or when it's in the middle and everyone stands either side of it and you can't get down the aisle. I'm not sure what I get more annoyed with. I think I just get annoyed in general.
I get
by
annoyed
them being
in general
there,
because it's just like almost every time it's like, right, I need to go and pick up that box of mints. Oh, look, there's a person blocking. I'm trying to choose actually polite words there. There's a person blocking the mints and they're nowhere to be seen. And if I touch their trolley, I'll probably get scowled at. So, oops, my trolley's banged into theirs by mistake. Now I can get my mints. They're up there with the cage people in Tesco, especially our one where they've got a cage, they've got all the rubbish in it, and it's just left. And there's no one around. It's just left blocking really popular items.
So there's a guy I know through work, his missus got hit by somebody who was pushing one of them. You know, they have
Ouch.
To pull them behind
yeah,
them,
yeah.
don't they?
They're
he
not
wasn't,
push
he was pushing ahead.
See it.
He went into somebody. He went into this lady who was my work colleague's wife. Actually hurt her quite a lot. And they sued them in the end. I think they won.
Well, I'm not surprised. Yeah. That's
I know, I'm not into
health
this whole
and safety.
Yeah, I'm not into the whole where there's blame, there's a claim stuff.
No, but
at
when
the same
it's
time,
quite
that
obvious.
Was kind of negligent. Like,
you're damn right. Yeah. And I think kind of the final thing that kind of winds me up on the whole Tesco thing, you've got your trolley pushers, you've got your cage, and then you've got a complete lack of shelf rotation. Mm-hmm. And I've never worked in food, but I've worked at places like Woolworths and Our Price, where we were told, always make sure the old stock is at the front. Yet you go up and it's like, oh, right, well, this is dated for 3 days' time. Let's have a look at what's at the back. Oh, what's at the back is dated for today's date. What?
Well, I mean, I've said it already. When we...
I mean,
yeah, I've just...
Ding, ding, ding.
I decided that I almost thought I was going to have a rant today, but I got my rant over in those WhatsApp messages to you. I weren't having a go at you. I was just venting. I thought at the end of it, I was like, I hope he doesn't think I'm telling him off. He hasn't done anything. I'm just ranting. I'm just going to embrace it. If I say it, I say it. I listened
happens.
To another podcast the other day and they said it loads. I was like, oh, I feel seen.
Well, as Gannon said, Eli has his set few phrases he uses all the time. And Paul, he also does.
Does he?
Yeah, they both do. I think everyone does. You can't get away from it. If that's what your brain's wired to say, that's what your brain's wired to say.
I just only noticed it listening back to our podcasts. I must do it all the time.
It's the same. I think it's the same as when you've bought a car. You go and buy a car and you think, oh, I don't see many of them on the road. You buy it. The next day, that's the only car you see in the colour you've purchased.
Yeah. So we had that with when we went into a composite door. We were walking just going composite, PVC, composite.
Such a cool dude.
When we were looking at loft conversions, they've got a loft conversion. When we're doing the extension now, they've had an extension. You just start to note when we first had tea, oh, look, they've got a pram. You're right. You don't notice things. Oh, look, they're walking a dog. What's a good one now is that the sleep time in prams, you know, the times that you'd always try and get your little one to sleep and you see them walk around and Miranda would go, having a nap.
It's so true. Absolutely true. Go on. What was your rant going to be about then? Seeing I've had my rant.
It was about the Retroid, but it's kind of
about the Retroid because we'll update the webpage on that one. So let's fire away the intro music and we'll come back to you in a minute.
Hi, and welcome to the show where two men slowly realise they may have spent too much on game consoles in the past.
I know I have.
Yeah, I think currently spending too much on game
current
consoles.
Current as well is definitely true when you consider the average console price is 500 notes at the moment. So
yeah,
I think I agree with you on that one. But welcome back everyone, and sorry for the delay, but life somewhat got in our way. So I hope you enjoyed the archive episode we put up. Today we have Do You Remember? We've got a talk of Star Trek, as always. I think that's what we're just going to slowly become. I think we need to, as you may have noticed by the artwork, we're now Trek nostalgia parenting.
I've got a lot of Trek stuff to talk about because I've watched the entirety of Strange New World since the last time I recorded, so I've got a lot to talk about.
Then we're gonna have a little chat about video game console history. Then I've done a little quiz for you, Rob.
Yes.
So you want to be a video game nerd.
Yay.
If we get time, we'll fit in our favourite gaming memories, and then we'll end it, as we always do, with that social readout. So let's just crack on, shall we? Let's get straight into Do You Remember?
Do you remember the shit that I bought? Remember? Did you give it a thought? Remember, it's probably tat, that's all.
Woo! If you've not listened to the show before, very possible, seeing we're only on episode 7 and we're tiny. We're teeny tiny. Me and Rob have to choose something, anything. We don't even need to buy it, but we seem to have started buying things from eBay because we can, which is a very dangerous, dangerous game.
We're both very keen and very competitive.
Well, mine came from Amazon, so up yours.
Oh, okay. It mustn't be as old.
But it is. But the rules are really simple. We have to bring an item to the table, and if either of us have thought about it in the past year, then we don't get a point. If we haven't thought about it in what we think is roughly a year, then that person gets a point. But if both people then turn around, or one person turns around and goes, I've never even thought about it, let alone know about it, then we just agreed that that's going to be a zero score. Mm-hmm. And you can go over to channel84.co.uk and you can go onto the podcast menu and you can see the scores at the moment. And I believe, Rob, is it 4-3 at the moment?
It's either 4-3 or 3-2, something like that.
It's 4-3, I think, to Rob. Yeah. So you took that last week. So I'm going to let you go first this week. So go on, show me what you've got in your crinkly plastic bag off eBay.
That's a few things in here. I want you to admire the box the eBayer sell it to me in.
Oh, so so it's not a video cassette in there?
No.
Oh, okay, because it looks like some dodgy porn video.
I was going to open it up. It's quite full.
Ooh, I am going to upset you. I don't know what these are.
Hero Gladiators.
I'm sorry, I've never ever seen or heard of these.
So they're weird.
What are they?
Okay, so it's like a weird little top Trumpsy game with figures. And what you would do, if you're looking, there's these little coloured skulls. So you have these little characters that are on a base. And you'll see there's some numbers on the base.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember, you have to like match those numbers against somebody else, and whoever wins, you take the skull and put their coloured skull on your base.
Oh, I see. So yeah, you've got these pegs that you can put these donut things on.
Yeah.
Just for those of you listening then, we've got Bloodrack, Hacker, or Hackor, Lashton, Fanglack, and Attilak. And I've got a selection of multicolored bits that seem to clip on.
Yeah, they're little skulls. So you have they come off the pot and you put your own colours in the pot. And then when you lose, you take your colour out and give it to the person and they place that coloured skull on their base.
I see.
So by the end of it, the whole circumference of the base would be covered in different coloured skulls, and then I think that's how you win.
Ooh, it's a Bluebird Toys. Now, that's a name I haven't heard for a long, long time. Yeah. Bluebird Toys UK 1991.
Yeah.
These are really cool, but I can't give you a prop because I let alone never thought about them.
But also, I've got a gift for you.
Oh, God, what's he...
packaged one for you to have yourself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Champion Loxor.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
They are very, very cool.
Has the instructions and everything on it.
Oh, wow. We'll have to...
You don't have to keep it in the box. I just got...
No, I'm going to, because I think that's really cool. And we've got your ones that we can play with that are out of the box. So that's really cool. Again, channel84.co.uk to see pictures of anything we're talking about.
You'll need pictures of this. And I think when some people see the pictures, because I hadn't... They'd completely gone off my memory completely until I saw a picture of them on Twitter, and I was like, oh my God, I had those.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well,
you don't remember them, so I don't get a point.
I don't even remember them, let alone having thought of them, so I'm really sorry.
I'm surprised you remember Bluebird.
Bluebird Toys, they made a lot of toys.
Yeah, they made a lot of toys, yeah.
Now, what I'm going to show you now, first of all, isn't my Do You Remember. This is going to be... Now, we've done a Star Trek episode, and I do get that feeling that after those few episodes that we've got planned, we should do a Star Wars episode.
Mm-hmm.
And my Star Wars episode is going to be this. What I'm showing Rob is it Tiger Electronics? I don't think it is. It's called Quiz Whiz. And it was basically a quiz game that you could load cartridges in. And it had quiz questions. That is a boxed, sealed, original trilogy Star Wars Quiz Whiz game. So we can have a bit of fun having it ask us questions out of those booklets. And see how we do on what they consider a Star Wars quiz.
I think, I know I don't remember this one specifically, this one, but I think we had something very similar.
It's of that era.
It was a learning one we had. I think my sister had a learning one, but not a Star Wars one.
More than likely. There were loads of these sort of devices out there. Tiger Electronics.
I think you have to have a point because I remember these devices. Well,
that's not it.
Oh,
that's,
right.
That's
this is
not
just
my
rusty.
Do you remember. That
oh,
was just,
this is just a fun thing.
That
okay.
was just a fun thing because you showed me your package
I've
thing.
I've got more
that
fun things in
me.
Here for you anyway.
And, well, to do with okay.
This. This is like a birthday episode. Are we giving each other gifts?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a point for this.
Okay.
However, my real worry is that as you've got a kid, and you're from the same era as I am, you may have thought about this.
Right.
It's a DVD, everyone.
Okay.
And I'm turning to show...
Sealed.
Rob Now.
Yeah, of course I've heard it. Yeah, of course I remember Chucklevision.
Well, I'm sure you remember Chucklevision, but have
it,
you
yeah.
thought
I've
about
thought
it
about
this
it
year?
Recently, yeah.
Oh,
course, yeah.
You dick.
I think I've even spoken to you about Chucklevision. I think you wrote it in a WhatsApp.
Did I?
I think in one of our chats, someone said something about Chucklevision.
Oh, God damn it. Well, this is importantly, the third season of Chucklevision. Now, why is that important? Well, it probably isn't, but seasons one and two, and I never knew this because I don't remember ever seeing them. Seasons one and two were filmed in a studio. It was a studio show that the...
I thought it was out on the street.
From season three onwards, it is. It's
okay.
All the weird, random stories they came up with, like... Their third brother, who's that old grouchy man. That's their brother, apparently, in real life. But yeah, no, seasons one and two were filmed in a studio. It was a studio sort of children's TV show. But I'm really disappointed. Okay,
well no, I feel back. So I have to try and prove when I last thought. Because
no,
I think about Chucklevision fairly often.
This is an honesty-based system. If you have thought about it
I'm
this
pretty
year,
sure I have.
Then that's fine. Then it is a 0 point this week, which isn't too bad for me. It means you're still only 1 point in the lead.
I can
survive with that.
I've got two other things in this bag, which were going to be items for this, but you wrote an article on the website containing both of these items. So
oh
I'm going
dear.
To pull them out one at a time.
Ooh.
What is that, TJ?
That is a popper, and no, I'm not talking about the stuff you snort to loosen up your bum hole.
This one's gone a bit funny because it's been sat like that in the loft upside down for a long period of time, and now it's got a flat bit, so it doesn't pop properly anymore. But that'll take your eye out, just as you said. That will take
your
eye out.
They are lethal. They are wonderful things. They were like... landmines of the tape. You folded them, you pinched them. There were lots of different things you could do. Lots of people just said, oh, you fold them and put them straight down and run away. Others, like me, used to fold them, then you pinched them in half.
I genuinely used to put my face over. So I would do that, push it in, fold in half, put my face over it, and it'd smack me in the face. Genuinely, I did that.
And he still has both eyes.
And I can still see reasonably well. And you also wrote about, that you're saying about things you're getting in cereal packets.
Yeah.
Recognise this? What this is?
No.
So I didn't want to put this in because I classed it as getting things out of Kellogg's.
Right.
So what this is a little card that you'd get during the Olympics time from Kellogg's. And this one in particular is high jumps. And you can move this little pulley thing and it changes all the stats of all the people and shows you what their high jump records were. Yeah, here you go. Look, it's for you to keep.
Oh, that is really cool. Look at that.
We'll get pictures of all these.
But you see, this is the era of kind of things that... Oh, there's more in there.
Yeah, you flip it over and it's the women. Women and men, or open the book. Yeah.
I see.
Men on one side, women on the other. Yeah.
Oh, you see, this is the era that I really miss when you used to get things like this.
Yeah.
I didn't have a bike, but I still wanted those Kellogg's Cockerel...
Yeah, I had one of those.
...spokes
for
the high-vis reflector.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Oh, that is really, really cool. See, but I remember the era of the Olympics as well, being a child. I know the era of the Olympics, we get it every, 4 years?
Yeah.
But growing up, I remember getting the newspaper and all the newspapers used to do their, this week, if this happens, you could win this. And there were things to get from the newspaper to match up. That made you, as a kid, want to watch the Olympics, especially as a kid that hated sport, which I did. It made you want to watch the Olympics to see if you won anything through the newspaper.
They had loads of those, like, for every sport in, like, everything, every sport in the Olympics at the time, you'd have one of those.
That is really
They're
cool.
They're wicked, those, aren't they?
I'm well impressed with that. That's really, really cool.
So we both had a lot of fun, but neither of us got a point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really hoping my next week's one, or 2 weeks' time's one, gets me a point, because I cannot fathom a reason as to why you would have thought about it.
Yeah.
I honestly can't, so...
I've got two coming up I think you will have, but I've committed and I'm going to bring them anyway.
Yeah, and I've got another one, which I think we've spoken about before, which will be disappointing. I mean, seeing we're already showing stuff. The other thing, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? I said, I got something through from eBay, but I'm not going to show it to you for over a year now, because I thought we've talked about something.
Yeah,
you remember how we talked about McDonald's, and we talked about birthday parties at McDonald's, and we talked about Happy Meal toys?
Yeah.
If you look straight in front of you next to the Gorgonite,
I've
got the three. I haven't got the fourth, annoyingly. I've got the fries, the milkshake, and the burger box in that very cool polystyrene, environmentally unsound, but still cooler than what we get now, Transformers.
Yeah. I myself had the fries one. Don't think I had the other ones. I haven't got them anymore. But
oh, I never got them at all, but I remember friends that did, and I was just so jealous, because they were Transformers.
Yeah, and I mean, we didn't go to McDonald's a lot. I think we went at the key times.
Yeah.
All the cool stuff was there. So I had the cool ones.
Most of the 90s, it was cool stuff. Looking at what it is, it's pony now. But
we got a Paddington book when I went the other day.
Yeah, I think the books are a good idea. I really do think the books are a good idea. But the toys of the 90s were the better things. Same with Kinder Surprise. The toys now in Kinder are shite.
They're tacky. I mean, they've always been
They're not
tacky.
Even toys. I mean, you're more often getting that sodding jigsaw that no one ever wanted.
Yeah, I used to hate getting, even when we were kids, I used to hate getting the jigsaw, and I used to hate getting the figures that had no construction.
Yeah.
You get like a Smurf pre-made. Well, I don't want that. I want to build it.
Because it's collectible.
I used to enjoy building them without the instructions. That was what I enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
Trying to figure, even now you can't figure them out. Like,
well, that's what I used to do with
really
Lego.
Quite difficult.
When you remember that when Lego used to be able to buy a little $2.99 box and it was a model, but they were at least Lego were clever with their designs, so you could build what was on the cover.
Yep.
But there were also enough spare bits included that you could build something like 5, 6, or 7 different designs. Mm. I used to like looking at the box and building it from that picture, not using the actual instructions, but trying to build it using the bits and what the picture looked like.
Yeah.
And obviously that got exponentially harder the bigger the model, and eventually you had to use the instructions. But anyway, right, do you remember? Neither of us won. Disappointing, but there you go.
that's it.
Star Trek, then. Go on, take us into Strange New World.
Notes up. So how amazing is Strange New Worlds, by the way?
Well, it's so amazing that I've decided to try and go for a Captain Pike hairstyle.
And it suits you as well, by the way.
I'm hoping, as my hair gets longer and I get the hair sides shaved again, I'm hoping to get it kind of as bouffant as he has. But it's such a good show. And after the disappointment for me, notice I'm actually using better words for once, of discovery. I was really, really not sure I was going to enjoy it, especially as it was a continuation on from Discovery. But wow.
So I had to message you, didn't I, because we were watching Discovery. I had to get timelines off of you because season four, they have a few moments in season four Discovery, spoilers, if you care. Shouldn't about Discovery that really made it very confusing. I want to say about one, because I don't know if I spoke to you about that. I think this is what set it off. There's a point where there's a character who isn't in their body anymore. Their consciousness is in somebody else, so they create a synthetic body for this person to now occupy, like they've done with Picard.
Okay.
Now Discovery, the first two seasons, I had to get timelines off of you. That set before the original series.
Yep. So this is all set before the original series.
The first
Kirk,
two
Spock,
seasons
so
are. The second two seasons are not. The second two seasons are set 1,000 years.
They're
into
super into
the
future where
now,
everything is.
This
collapsed.
Is where we are now. So that means they don't know anything about the original series. They don't know anything about Picard. They don't know anything about Voyager. They don't know anything about anybody else. Right. So synthetic bodies aren't. So the Doctor does research about what they can do, and he says, oh, this is, they say the name of the person that makes Data and how they made this thing. So this Union is a direct
soon.
Call to
soon,
Picard
even.
Seasons.
Yeah.
Right? So like, he
well,
doesn't.
It's a direct call to TNG,
yeah.
Because that's where Data's creator first is shown
but
to
the
us.
Synthetic body, he says about Picard
yeah,
specifically.
Picard's body
and
is.
And that's where I have the issue. He doesn't say at all how he knows this. I only assume he researched it. Right? So he goes through the
future databases.
The Federation's database to find out. But it's what he says later in the same scene. He says somebody, he goes like this, like, I think he was called Picard or something. I was like, no, hold on. You are a Federation doctor who is extremely clever. You will remember the name
yeah.
of the only Starfleet captain to have
at
their
that point, yeah.
at that point to have their consciousness put into another body, which is exactly what you're about to do.
But
you will remember the name.
So
and that
really,
me.
But what really annoys me about that as well is, as a scientist, as a doctor, even as your average Joe Ensign Ricky Redshirt,
mm-hmm.
reading something that's 1,000 years in the future and going, oh wow, that happened that many years ago. That would still blow my mind.
Yeah.
He has come from an era, there are no synthetic bodies. So to just kind of casually throw out there, oh yeah, there's some bloke, I think his name was Picard, had it done. It should be, oh, they perfected this back in this century. We can do this now because we're in the future. We could never have done this better. It would have been exciting. It just sounds like it was a real...
I don't think it's the way it's acted, because that actor's actually very good. And he plays his role very well. I think it's not been written correctly. Mm. I think that's what it is. I think that whoever wrote it, that scene, didn't think that there'd be people like me thinking, no, he would know that. To stick with the character of this very intelligent person, he would remember these very specific details.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. It doesn't sound like it was well written. I think it was most likely well acted. I know which actor you're talking about. And to be fair, any issues I had with Discovery are to do with the story, the plot, and the creative choices. Nothing to do with the acting.
Yeah, I was looking at it way more critically season four so far, and I think it's acted very well by everybody. I think they're working with what they've got. And as I said to you before, I went to that Comic-Con with Mark from SideQuest, and there was a Star Trek stall there, and
yeah.
I was speaking to those guys who are way, way trekkier than you and I are, way above past me. And he was asking me what I'm into at the moment. I said Strange New Worlds, and I said we're watching Discovery, and he was like, oh God, I really don't like Discovery. and we spoke about it a little bit. So I think there is quite a few people, and he had the exact same issue. He goes to me, what is it that you don't like about it? And I said, to be honest, I don't like the fact it's in the far future, and I do not like the ships. Yeah. That's really what gets me, that they come apart, go all over the place. And he was like, it's exactly what I don't like.
The whole floating nacelle thing is just bloody stupid in my book. That's just an absolutely ridiculous thing. The ship designs of the future, there were one or two that I thought, you know what, they look cool. Then you see the floating nacelles and you go, nope, done, see you later. But my other biggest issue with Discovery is this whole, we created a spore drive, we created this super fancy thing, and then we're just expected to believe that it was then forgotten about because it was a
highly
top secret, and it was just dropped. You look at the original series, especially the films. The original series, we have a bit of time travel. The films, well, we know how to time travel. We know we shouldn't do it, but we're going to. Don't you think at some point, Kirk as an admiral or Picard as an admiral would have gone, how could we get around this? Or Voyager, how do we get home? I don't know. But it turns out there was a ship a long, long time ago that had the ability to fold space.
Which Pike would have known about. And Pike knows all those other characters.
So it's just... So Pike won't know anyone he'll know Kirk. He'll know Kirk, yeah. So there's so many... I mean, I could explain the Kirk thing in a minute, actually. So technically, he doesn't know Kirk. And again, if you're a fan of Star Trek, and I get this wrong, I'm very sorry. Right. The pilot episode of Star Trek, the original series, was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
That was Captain Pike, Spock... and the USS Enterprise.
Yep.
And what then happened was they were told, we don't know about this, refilm it. And they refilmed it, Kirk is the captain, Spock. And then later on, there's a two-part episode where Spock is being held court-martialed and Pike is there. And if you've ever watched Futurama, there's a joke where they've got a court scene and they keep all getting into the chair, and the only way they can speak in court is by beeping the light. That is Pike in TOS. He's left disabled. And basically the whole story of the cage was an accident happened, something like that. And Spock takes him to a planet of these big brained things who, for some reason, I honestly can't remember, which is why I'm not going to go too much into it, use their brain powers of telekinesis and things like that to make Moira or something like that, and a woman who's disfigured, appear beautiful and live a happy life. And they say, we can do the same for Pike, who's at this point disabled now. And that's why Spock is taking Pike to this other planet. And there's a lot to it. You need to watch it. The problem is with TOS, as much as I loved it as a kid and I allowed myself to kind of get lost in the wonder of it, I go back and watch it now and it's pretty boring.
Yeah. I think Pike's in Discovery season one. Miranda keeps saying that that's where we see him.
Is it season two?
Where we actually see him go to the place and get that vision, the Klingon world, to get the vision that he then has the issue with in Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I'd have to watch it again. I don't intend to watch Discovery again. So I'm just going to take a word on.
But the really nice thing about Strange New Worlds is you don't need to have watched Discovery.
No, they explain
it all. It's brought up like once or twice.
They explain it enough that you care.
And yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's done.
Yeah.
I really like the storylines to it. I've liked all the characters in it. I think the Enterprise compared to Discovery as a ship looks way more in keeping with what's expected. And okay, for me, I've really had to heavily think about this. Would I have preferred them to have done a set that looks like the original series? If I was being really anal and the sort of person that was saying, like I used to, I hate Discovery, it's shit, then yeah, I would have probably said, yeah, the only way you'd get this looking good is if you made it look like the original series. It would have looked used. It would look awful. It would look campy. It wouldn't have worked. They have done enough to make it look modern,
yep,
but not overly modern. So when the Enterprise turns up with Kirk's generation and then into TNG, these aren't giant leaps.
I want you to cast your mind back to a conversation we had about Voyager. I think Strange New Worlds, it sits, the way the story's built, it sits in between The Next Generation and Voyager. And I'll explain why.
Okay.
We said about Voyager, what we both were annoyed about was, yes, every episode is different, but it had the overarching thing constantly there. I want coffee. I need to get out of this quadrant and go home.
And I want constantly coffee and there. Genocide. One
Borg,
of those
Borg,
two.
Borg, genocide, coffee. It's always there, and it actually gets a bit annoying.
Yes.
Whereas Next Generation didn't really have that at all. It's just episode, 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 and just character relationships for the yeah. most part continue. And then occasionally
the Borg was the overarching enemy that you got from
but it wasn't drilled,
season two or three yeah, onwards.
But it wasn't drilled into you at the end of every episode.
No.
No. Now, Strange New World, I think, sits somewhere in the middle. It has Pike's visions of the future as its coffee.
Yeah.
Stuff, but it's not in your face.
And the potential future of his genetically enhanced number one, which is another yeah. side story, which isn't played upon too much, but you know it's going to have a conclusion of some sort at some point.
But it's not brought up constantly.
No.
I think they sit a fine line perfectly well. They do keep these other stories going through, but they don't shove it in your face all the time.
Mm.
And that's why I think it sits beautifully in the middle. They've done it just right for people who like to have these overarching stories over multiple episodes.
I 100% agree. And as I said, I really like the characters in Strange New Worlds.
I really like Spock.
Spock is surprisingly good.
I really like Spock.
Surprisingly yeah. good. And he's got the whole...
Same actor who plays Spock in Discovery.
Mm. Yeah. And he's got the same Leonard Nimoy, Kirk, William Shatner kind of vibe of... how he's portraying his friendship to Pike.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because you always assume, if you've ever watched the TOS films, that Spock and Kirk are the only ones that have ever formed a friendship. But actually, the fact that he's formed a friendship with his previous captain is really quite a nice idea. So, yeah, I like that. Now, I know you're going to bring this one up. I liked the engineer, as stupid as it was, and I absolutely agree with it. How do you have an engineer learn everything unless all of the screens somehow have magical braille tactile sensation?
So this is for people who might not have listened to the beginning of our last bonus episode where I rant a little bit to myself in the van talking about the engineer.
Yes.
He's blind, he's height, they specifically say he's heightened all of senses, and he's actually telepathic as well. But I even think with telepathy, that isn't going to help you read
with a computer.
A touchscreen.
No.
It's just not. An LCD glass touchscreen or whatever that is. If it's like an energy field and he can sense the heat signatures of the light coming that's being created, or there's some kind of static energy that the buttons are creating to help people who yeah. are blind, I can believe that. But that never is explained. There's... to me, it's just an LCD touchscreen that he'll never be able to understand.
It ever. Would have just been nice to have a little explanation in there. Just a literally 2-minute throwaway. How do you do this?
And
bang,
there's
sorted.
A couple of situations where Uhuru's with him and could very easily bring that up and be like, sorry, how do you actually know what's here? And he could go, duh, blah, blah, blah. You can't feel it because you aren't sensed in that way.
And what I really like going on to Uhura.
Did I call it Uhuru?
You called her Uhuru.
So, sorry.
Rhymes with the Yazoo. Yoohoo glue.
Like you very politely corrected me.
With
just repeating
Uhura. I like the character arc they're coming up with that, because
yeah,
we're
like
so used to her being a hard ass in the TOS and especially the TOS films. So seeing her young, naive, and do I even really want to be doing this is actually a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I really like. And I like the fact they've also kind of gone, you know, in TNG, you've got Worf, who's basically, let's blow them out yeah. the sky, Captain. And it's always every episode. Why would we do that, Mr. Worf? Shut up, basically.
Yeah.
I love that they've got the helm and tactical on Strange, the one that's got the shaved side
yeah,
of her
yeah.
hair is always just really up for a fight. And Pike's always like, no, there's always another option. And you're just, yeah. just like, there's your Worf.
Yeah. Well, even the security officer girl, she's the same. She's like proper badass.
Yeah.
Takes no shit from anybody. Yeah. Wicked.
I just as a series goes, I just think it's really strong. I really like it.
Episode 8, where the book comes to life.
Yeah.
The girl's book comes to life. I wanted to cry at the end of that.
That was such
I've
a good
never
episode.
Felt like a Star Trek episode has made me want to cry. And I genuinely, at the end of that, I was like, I think I'm actually going to cry to this.
I'm one of probably many, whether or not people admit this, I struggle with the end of Wrath of Khan, with Spock dying in the warp chamber.
Yeah.
It's so beautifully acted, and the scripting, the story for it's just wonderful. But that was a hugely emotional moment in that episode, and that just really showed you the strength of the writers in SNW versus Discovery.
I think they earned it, though, because that character, the Doctor, we've been seeing that struggle with his daughter through the entire thing. So they kind of, they earned that moment. It wasn't just put on us in one episode. It was there again, which is why some of the gentle overarching stories, which they did close off a lot of them in the series, work with it.
And Nurse Chapel, I love her character.
She's wicked, yeah. I just want her to marry Spock, but, you know, unless they make a different timeline, we know it's not going to happen.
Or if you've seen the meme, two in the pink, two in the stink. Live long and prosper, Nurse Chapel.
So gross. But what I was, one of the questions I had, but actually they ended up getting answered, was, is that little girl aware that she's being put into the...
I don't know if that was answered or not. I can't... It seems to remind me that
she knows she's being put in it.
But it's almost like she knows it's her bedtime routine almost. So is she basically reliving this bedtime routine every time?
She basically said we know by the end of it that we know that she knows that she's in it. But I want to know, is she aware when she's in it? Does she have any comprehension that something's happening? Or does she just sleep awake?
Oh, God, and over time, it's like blinking. Because you can imagine the insanity that would set in with being on your own, conscious, but nothingness.
Yeah, but also imagine just blinking and the person in front of you is slowly aging.
Well, that's the other thing as well. She's blinking. She's waking up, and every time she comes back, Dad's older.
Because it never says, I don't think, how long he's been doing that.
No. We assume it's his entire service on the Enterprise, and the Enterprise is a new ship, so we can only assume it's that long. So since they come into Discovery, I guess, because that's when the Enterprise is meant to have... Yeah. That story was absolutely beautiful. And I would say the final episode as well, where we see something that's played upon in a few episodes of TNG and Deep Space Nine, where in the TNG episodes, we get a couple of Romulans that are... And even there's a brilliant two-part episode where Leonard Nimoy's in it, Spock, is on Romulus trying to bring them into peace. So it's nice to see that even back in kind of Pike's generation, we've already got this idea that this war has been going on for so long, and there's people that just want it over and want to move on and make peace. And the fact they've got that in there is just a wonderful idea.
I did love all that, but I did find it a little bit unbelievable that they didn't know what the Romulans looked like.
I don't know. When you consider they've got their treaty, which is a giant expanse of space that no one's allowed to go across.
But the Vulcans...
But 200 years ago, did they not have digital cameras? So,
yeah, did you're telling me Spock didn't know what they looked like?
This is it. It's slightly unbelievable. But then again, Spock is technically young in this, and they live hundreds of years of Vulcan, so...
But I just feel like Vulcans would know.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That was the only bit I was kind of like...
But then he would have had a necessity to research it on Vulcan.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind that they're meant to be from the same genome at some point, aren't they? And they're meant to have split their way, where Romulus is meant to have not cut their ties with emotion and feelings, where the Vulcans did. Maybe it's just considered that's the dirty uncle we don't talk about or visit. Mm. So those photos live in the very furthest album at the very back, and no one asks to see them.
Two other quick points. Love the space station with the domes.
Yes.
That place looks absolutely epic.
Yep.
And episode 9, essentially an episode basically Alien, and it was wicked.
I really liked that they did that with the Gorn, because the Gorn you get in the original series is that famous picture that you see of the rubber suit crocodile lizard monster.
I had to look them up because I was like, who are the Gorn in it?
It's not wonderful. And that entire episode is As captain, you need to know lots of science things. I know that if I put this, this, and this, I make explosives. Yeah. And, oh, so happens, I have it on the planet in front of me. It's a weird episode. But I like the fact that they made the Gorn exactly what TOS wanted to do with it, but just couldn't because of the era. You just couldn't have done it. So they actually made them these bloodthirsty monsters. I think it's brilliant. Brilliant idea.
Yeah, I think I wrote something on Twitter about it and I put the wrong episode. I wrote episode 8 on Twitter when I meant 9. I couldn't remember what episode it was. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. Quick one. I did watch another episode of Lower Decks. I've seen episode 4 now.
What a show.
What kind of waste is actually in a holodeck waste disposal unit? When they're like saying how disgusting it is. And kind of by the end of the episode, the implications that I have in my brain are the implications that they think, it's a box of smoke.
That's the thing I love about Lower Decks, full stop. Not only is it really good Trek, but they go further on the comedy that none of the live action could get away with.
I was trying to explain it to Miranda because she does not like things like Family Guy and American Dad. She doesn't like any of that. And I was saying to her, like, imagine that humour, but not horrible like that. Not as far gone as Family Guy.
It's not
Guy.
As horrendously racist, phobic, and whatever else that you'd consider of Family Guy.
A bit further than Simpsons go.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I was trying to explain it to her, because I don't think she'll ever watch it, which is a shame, particularly if they do a crossover episode.
I would say it's probably not even quite as bad as South Park.
Oh, it's no way.
I would say it's old South Park, not new South Park, which is considerably worse than the original South Park was.
But it's just brilliant.
It is. It's honestly, and I cannot wait for you to get to the episode where they basically, the entire ship has to do all these training exercises to get a really good score. And it's such a funny episode because every training exercise is either something from Voyager, from TNG, from the original series.
Yeah.
And they've all got to go through it. And it's just, it's so funny. It's such a good, fun episode.
Finding time for me to work, because she won't watch it. I have to check kind of what certain jobs at work. I have my phone going in the background, and that's when I put it on. I'll get through it, but I've got to say I really, really, really like it. Hence why I said good to you, we need to have some artwork like that. Because
yeah, definitely. And you know what? The wicked new artwork by Zombie Workshop over on Twitter, and that is ZOMBI Workshop. He's just nailed it. Absolutely, just beyond nailed it. It's so good.
It is. I can't explain to you enough how it is exactly what I imagined in my head. It's exactly. He's taken the image out.
Yep.
And put it onto the.
Very nice.
Very happy.
Shall we move on from Trek Talk? We are at 42 minutes already.
We're a Star Trek podcast now, TJ. That's it.
You know what?
Thanks everyone for coming. See you in 2 weeks.
Right. Video game console history.
Yeah.
It's me, Mario.
I'm going to let you lead with this one. What are we doing here? As I've just randomly got a list of all the consoles I've ever owned.
That's what I've got as well. So what I've got is a list of the ones I actually had growing up and then ones I've brought as an adult. Because I can't even actually really remember what order I got them in, because even as a kid, I didn't get them in the order they come out. I kind of chopped and chose, particularly PlayStations. I never got PlayStations in the order they come out, because I tended to, after the PS2, I was then went to Xbox, and then I later got a PS3, later got a PS4.
Yeah, fair enough.
But really, we kind of want to talk about consoles that we had or have, you know, our kind of favourite ones, if we enjoy playing any of them now, games that are favourites on those consoles.
Yeah, and I guess this spawned from us buying the Retroid Pocket 3 Plus, to get the name correct. And very, very quickly, they are amazing, and I stand by the review I did on the webpage for it. Yeah. I do think they are an absolutely wonderful device for handheld emulation. But Rob, nearly a month ago at least, knocked yours onto the floor, didn't you?
It's about 5 weeks since the incident, because the turnaround for getting parts is nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like a week and a half to get them from China.
Okay, fair enough.
And I've had to order 3 times. So
snap, and we'll explain that one in a moment. But what happened? You knocked yours onto the floor, didn't you?
Dropped it onto its shoulder button.
From what distance, first of all?
Well, I'm 5'9", And I've got reasonably long arms. So from my waist to the ground.
So about 2.5 foot, let's say. Yeah. 2.5, 3 foot. Carpeted or hard?
No, lino floor.
Right, lino floor. And it landed on the shoulder buttons. And what happened to those?
Shattered the micro switch inside. Completely obliterated it for the shoulder button. And then jumped and then landed onto the other shoulder button. They did the same to the other side.
Yeah. So, fair enough. A 3 foot drop on something hard. I kind of understand that a little bit, and I can maybe kind of give it a bit of leeway. Did it only destroy L1 and R1, or for you, did L2 and R2 also stop working?
No, only L1 and R1. But R1, which I think is the second one it landed on, it broke it, but yeah. I was able with a very fine tool to kind of reseat it inside, and it would have kept working, but I replaced it anyway.
Fair enough.
But that would have kept working.
I knocked mine off the bed, getting ready to go to Spain.
Onto the carpeted floor.
Onto the carpeted floor. So 1.5 foot max, maybe 2 foot max, actually. Not far. Yeah. It landed on the, landed on L1 and L2. Obliterated, gone. It
really?
Didn't break the switches. I took its bits. There were no rattling, no plastic. The micro switch, completely dead. And then the switch on the back for L2, completely dead. Not one other button was damaged. Everything else worked. Completely destroyed those. Such a gentle drop. They are so fragile. And I don't know how you can get around that based on the parts they're using. Now, the one positive thing I will give to Retroid, maybe not so much now I've had to go through it as well, mainly because I still feel really grudged that, yeah, okay, it was my fault that I knocked it onto carpet, but it shouldn't be that fragile, is that the replacement board for the shoulder button is $5, so about £3 in our money.
Yeah.
All the replacement parts are available on Retroid's site, and if you order them all, you've got to pay $8 postage, which is a bit steep, but it comes signed for. So again, I can't complain at that. The parts are cheap and they are available. So yeah, I've repaired mine. You've repaired yours. It is what it is. But I just feel it was too fragile. So I would put that warning, as good as the game console is, buy the protective case for it. Because one drop from even a minimal height onto carpet, if it lands on one of those shoulder buttons, you are screwed.
The thing is, with mine, I had to order both new boards.
Yep.
And then it turned up, only one board was in the box. So I could only replace one. So then I had to tell them that. So then they sent me another one. And then I got that one. And one of the other buttons on it, from out of the box, just straight up didn't work. So the home button didn't work.
And I will say, this is the other negative then. I ordered the replacement thumbsticks for mine. Not that mine were broken, but you can order the hall sensor just to make it that little bit more accurate. Now, the original thumbsticks are just analog style. So you move them, it gets the current that you move, boom, 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 and it works. These use magnets, and therefore they should never have any sort of drift problem or anything like that. One of them didn't work. One of them plugged it in. Not a problem at all plugging it in. Sits straight bottom right hand corner and didn't click, didn't do anything. Just dead on arrival.
Yeah. This thing as well. Like, so then I had to order again, because when I was removing that new board to test the old board, I had to make sure I hadn't broken the main ribbon cable from the main board. I then broke the ribbon cable on the analog stick using their tweezers.
Yeah,
do not use their tweezers.
Their tweezers are awful.
They're so aggressive.
You could shiv someone with them.
Yeah, they're super aggressive. If anyone listening has one of these, just take the battery out. That's the way to do it. Gently pull the battery out so it's not stuck anymore. And then all the ribbon cables are really easy to put in by hand, and you don't have to use any tweezers. And you're fine. So then, eventually, I went same as you. I bought the hall sensors because I had to buy a new stick anyway.
Yeah.
And then just went and ordered another board. And ordered different colours. They sent me the wrong colours anyway. You can't be arsed with them.
No, it's their quality control and their aftercare isn't wonderful.
Shipping isn't good. The way they ship it, they just bubble wrap it in a box loose.
Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me that things break, I guess. But I will be putting a giant warning at the top of my review about this, because I don't think it's fair to let people go into this blind thinking that my review says they're wonderful. There are caveats, and these are big ones. And especially with the Retroid Flip, which is now out, which is basically the same kit as ours, but with the Hall sensors, which is what we've replaced ours with, in a foldable console. As far as I'm concerned, those micro switches and those shoulder buttons are still a huge risk.
I think you're more likely to damage it on the flip one, because the screen closes.
You're going to not be so gentle with it.
Yeah, exactly. But those shoulder buttons are still, they're flying out in the air.
Well, I'll let you know how I get on, because I'm going to take mine back to bits again when the new replacement Hall sensor comes. And yeah, look, I've got a little electric screwdriver that I do mine with.
Yeah, cool.
And I'm going to try putting in some surface mount foam, so sticky back foam, so that if I did drop it onto the shoulder button, that should cushion it. So yeah, it will make the buttons a bit harder to push, so you'll definitely need to, so there won't be any accidental clicking with them. But I'm hoping maybe just that little bit of padding will be enough to protect them from a drop again.
Yeah.
Because I can't keep buying $5 and then $8 shipping boards each time an accident happens.
Then you got away a week and a half.
Yeah.
Which is still on that. I think something went wrong with my DuckStation app. Completely wiped it. So all my save files for all my PlayStations have gone. I had to re-put in the BIOS, had to re-put in all the games. Really, yeah, it was frustrating. I don't have had anything to do with what I was doing.
I think I know what that probably is. I bet you, did you start it up without the memory card in at any point?
I might have then accidentally.
Then DuckStation was probably running in the background, because it may have still been running from the last time.
And it wiped it.
And it basically set its new config locations to the internal storage, not the SD. So I bet if you'd set it back, it's probably all still there.
I'd set it back. Because I had to set it up again.
Yeah.
So I basically chose... But I lost like my Final Fantasy VIII save, which was really frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. We might find it again, though. Bring it over next time. We'll plug it in and we'll
see. I've left it with the wife now to put me back where I was. Nice. I wasn't that far. I just don't like the story start of Final Fantasy VIII. It's a bit
fair enough. Okay, anyway, right. Video game consoles then. What is the first one on your list?
Mega Drive Mark II.
ZX Spectrum for me. That was... And I could knock the Spectrum and the Atari ST off, because they're certainly computers, they're not game consoles. Have you got any computers on yours that you had?
No, I haven't put computers on.
Ah, fair enough. We'll knock those off then, but the Spectrum was mine. We got it late, about 88. I guess then the first console I had was a NES, and I bought that for £3 at a car boot sale.
Wow.
And it came with Rygar, I think the game was called. And it had a dodgy AV connection on it. You had to wiggle the aerial on it, and then eventually it worked.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I know. It was £3. No, it was my first ever game console.
I still don't have an NES, and I'd like one. I've got an SNES, but I don't have an NES. Yeah, then I got a Game Boy.
After the NES, I got the Atari, but then we didn't actually have a games console in the family. I'm sure we've said this before. My old man and my mum were very much, you want it, you're going to have to buy it. Mm-hmm. So the first games console really got after the NES, which didn't last long because it was knackered, was the Mega Drive, because my brother bought it from one of my other brother's friends secondhand. So we probably didn't get that till nearing the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Oh God, I love that console though. I had to buy him a new power supply for it, because I remember one summer it was ridiculously hot and I just left it paused all day as I kept coming back to play on it, as I wanted to complete Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And I did manage to complete Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and then the PSU, that big chunky plug, just melted. Just started to smell very, very electrical and got very, very hot, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, funnily enough, I haven't actually written it on here. I've missed it. I'm then basically all Game Boys. That's it. Until the N64.
You know, right. Go through your list. I'm not going to speak. Let's not speak. Go from the very beginning to the very end.
These might not be in the right order, because I don't remember. I didn't write the years that these come
out. Do you remember if you bought them or you were given them?
All of the Game Boys after the Game Boy Color, I would have brought.
Fine, okay.
I think the N64 was a gift at Christmas, and then every console.
So, if you can, say roughly where you got it from, if you remember.
So, I'll say the console and then how I got it.
Cool.
So yeah, Mega Drive, definitely Christmas. I vividly remember opening the box. Game Boy, Christmas again. Same with Game Boy Color, another Christmas present. Game Boy SP and Game Boy Advanced, I would have brought myself. I remember going and getting them myself because they were just kind of just slight changes of the Game Boy stuff. N64, I think, was a birthday present. It would have been birthday or Christmas.
Nice.
Got Mario 64 with it, and that was all I had. And then had to
That's
wait.
All you needed.
And then you'd kind of, you know how it was back then, you'd only get stuff at birthdays and Christmas.
Yes.
That's it. So if I, and they were expensive games. I was little. I had no job. So I wasn't getting any N64 games. Yeah, DS, Nintendo DS and Nintendo 3DS definitely brought myself. And every iteration of the 3DS I've had. So the grey one, and then when they changed it to the new DS. So I've had every iteration of it.
The DSi.
PlayStation 1, I had the little white one.
Remember? Yeah, PS1. So wasn't PlayStation, no, it was the PS1.
So I didn't have one until that was made. So two iterations of PlayStation 1s until that one, I think. The grey one, and then did they do a different kind of grey one?
No, so they had the PlayStation 1, which was always the grey box. I think there was a later model that then had composite built in or something along those lines, or it came with a different kind of connection for your TV included.
Yeah.
And then you had the PS1. Now, fun story about the PS1 before I forget it. Do you remember Dixon's in Town?
Yeah.
So Dixon's in Town was one of my favourite haunts at the weekend. Go and have a look around, see what there was. And this would have been late 90s, just before Dixon's kind of started closing down stores. And they used to have some really weird sales. I bought these three little GPS devices. They weren't brilliant, but they worked. At £10 each. Brilliant. Job done. Excellent. I also managed that day, bought three PS1 consoles in that little tiny grey silver box they came with them vacuum packed with Spyro the Dragon on the front. They cost me £15 each.
That's a lot less than I paid. I think I paid 40, maybe £50 in Woolworths. St Albans for my PS1 with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Nice.
Which I then later sold to my cousin Nicola for £30, which she still has. Her and her new husband still have it, still play it, still set up on their living room.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
I wish I had it back.
What a game.
I'm so glad that she still has it, still plays it now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, carry on with your list.
Oh, let me get my list back. PS2, I got it myself. 360, I paid but had birthday money I was using.
Yep.
I was one of the people going around hunting for a 360. Me and my cousin Adam were going to everywhere we could get one. We were the guys running. At the time, he worked in John Lewis in Wellington City.
And
he was
yeah.
We're getting 10 in. So we're going to be. And we went there when it opened. And there's like multiple entrances. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's even still there anymore.
Yeah, it's still there.
And we were at the wrong entrance. Not the wrong entrance. We were at the closest one to that part, but they didn't open our door till way after. They must have had one person opening doors, going around opening. They come to us last. So by the time we ran, we got past everyone because my cousin showed me where we should run through. Yep. There was already a massive queue and we didn't get one.
Damn.
Which was a shame. Xbox One, I'm pretty sure, was my next console, which... Again, I was getting like vouchers. That's how I ended up doing it. Yep. Now I'd ask for vouchers from Amazon and then or use my own money and then get things. That's
yeah, fair enough.
PlayStation 3, I got way later when they had a sale on in game and I got one for really cheap myself. And the PlayStation Vita came bundled with it, which we've never really used. I only got it because it had Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII on it. And I thought Miranda could use that as like a portable way. Because at the time it was the only
way. That was meant to be the way that you were able to play without a screen, wasn't it? It was their idea of what the Wii U had done.
Yeah, it never really worked. But also you could use it to go and play Final Fantasy VIII or whatever, wherever you wanted. She never actually used it.
Right.
But the idea was there. Xbox One X, I got release day, again, Amazon vouchers and stuff like that. PlayStation 4 got really late. It was already like right near the end of its kind of lifespan, but I've got a lot of PlayStation 4 games because I got it so late.
The games were
cheap. I've got probably more I could find out because I have them all listed. I have a whole. I could tell you how many I've got. Xbox Series X. I traded the 1X in.
Yeah.
And then a bit more extra money. Got the Series X. PS5. My wife and I went halves on it. And so the only reason we actually got a PS5 is because we're both so into Final Fantasy. And Sony got really arsey with that whole the Activision takeover Xbox. They said we're taking all of their games away from every other console, and they were said we're never going to release a Final Fantasy on any other console other than Sony again.
So that's just ridiculous, isn't it?
And we were like, we love Final Fantasy games. We kind of were like it was almost like we were forced to get it. All right, okay, yeah, first world problems. We don't have to go and get it. But we're like, well, it's the game that we both love. We play them together. Now the only way we can do it is if we get a PlayStation. And because the new one's coming out, we got one. But again, I waited for a sale. It wasn't much of a sale. It was like a 20 quid off or something.
It's more of a sale than Nintendo ever offer on their...
And then I have the Retro Pocket I've got on here. It was the most recent console I've brought.
Nice.
And then as an adult, I've got hold of original Xbox, a SNES, a GameCube, a Dreamcast. My old next door neighbour, they had a Skip, and I just happened to be walking past it, and she was chucking a boxed grey PlayStation.
I remember
into
you telling
it.
Me about
and I was
this.
Like, can I have that? And she's like, yeah, he's just getting rid of them all. So I took it out, cleaned it all up, works perfectly. And then she come round like a couple of days later with loads of games. She goes, oh yeah, you found all these, do you want these? So yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then I got a PSVR that someone didn't want any money, gave it to me.
I liked the PSVR, but that was of a generation where, for me, the frame rate and the resolution was below what my brain can handle. Whichever way, which meant I get horrible motion sickness with it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Quest Oculus 2 or Oculus Quest 2, which we'll talk about later, I don't get motion sickness with much.
I do get motion sickness with it. So let me rephrase. It's not that he didn't want it anymore. He didn't really have anywhere to put it. And he knew that I collect stuff and he knew I wasn't going to get rid of it.
Fine. Okay.
So he was
makes
like,
sense.
You take it because I know you're not going to get rid of it. And it's going to, when I finished my games room, I'll put pictures up eventually. I mean, you're talking like 6 or 7 months away. But when I have finished it, it'll have a stand and it'll be all nice looking. Because I'm super into VR. I've got given from a client, save me, my boss and I were given from a client the original Oculus Dev Kit 1.
Ooh,
I've got boxed.
It
doesn't
nice.
Work anymore because you can't get the software.
Nope.
Unless it's on Pirate Bay or somewhere, you might be able to get it to
Archive.org.
Yeah, if you can get it on there, we could get it working again. I'd happily show it to you and you can
That's
try
very
and go on
cool.
it. It's super awesome. And I remember, did I write about it? Because I was really scared of, there's like a scuba diving game.
And I don't think you've written about it.
Maybe I've got notes to do it. And if you ever swam, it's quite an inconspicuous game. Doesn't really tell you anything happens in it. You're just kind of scuba diving. But if you go too far out of bounds, a shark comes and kills you and resets it.
Brutal.
And if you know me, I'm terrified of sharks. I scuba dive.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you were scared of sharks.
I'm scared of sharks, but what I'm particularly scared of, I have that phobia of the ocean.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Even though I will swim in the ocean. I scuba dive in the Maldives multiple times. Love doing it, but I'm terrified of it.
Yeah, let's just put a downer on this one. I am terrified of drowning in the dark, openness, cold of water.
Let
and
me
my words are just
tell
really
you a
gone
story.
Bare.
So when we learned to scuba dive on our honeymoon, it's going to make me sound like I'm a right posh bastard. When we had our honeymoon in the Maldives,
must be nice.
And we learned to scuba dive there. They did this thing called Wernalau, which is just like a equivalent paddy. But most of Europe don't really do Wernalau. Even though it's German, they all do paddy. But
right,
it's an equivalent.
Okay.
And you can do a speed course. So you have to do like 6 or 7 dives. You have to do an exam. We did it all in the space of a week. It was fantastic. Anyway, I very much, if I'm scared of something, I like to push myself to do it to try and force it out of me. That's where I stand with fears. I don't try and back away from them. I want to do it.
Fair enough.
And I still have the fear of the open ocean. The very last dive, we wanted to try and see some manta rays. So we went, it was 5 a.m. Went out, still dark, in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And they said, it's going to be very dark in the ocean. Just go down. Stay as close to your buddy as you can and just go down. Visibility was less than I can see you now. Less than a meter visibility.
Oh, that's horrible.
No sunlight coming through. And I was... We were going to, I think it was 25 meters we were going down, because we'd all done the 30 meter certification. We were going down to 25 meters. And you've got to go fairly slowly. And I was completely on my own. I couldn't... You're never meant to be on your own, because you're meant to always be able to be a certain distance from your buddy.
Yeah,
because it was
yeah.
so dark, you couldn't see your buddy unless you were basically holding them. And they, so they just said, basically, just go down. You'll see everyone when you get to the bottom, because finally the light that there is will reflect off the ocean floor. When you get down there, you'll be able to see stuff.
Okay.
But because you're in the middle with nothing to reflect any light, you can't see anything.
Makes sense.
And all of my fears came to me then. Pitch black, dark, dark blue of the ocean.
So you're probably not someone that should go in a sensory deprivation tank.
I don't think that'd be good for me. And I was terrified. I was trying not to say shit myself, but yeah, shit myself.
Yeah, fair enough.
Until I got to the bottom, and then suddenly it all goes away. Because when you're actually at the bottom, you don't realise what's above you. You don't realise mm-hmm. this massive expanse. It's like, I always explain, it's like Finding Nemo just appears. That busy world of fish just suddenly appears.
And also when you suddenly think as well, 25 meters isn't really that much in how things go. What's a house about 10 meters tall?
Yeah,
so your house plus another house on top of it and a little bit more, in the grand scheme of things, that's not yeah. really.
But when you see drop-offs though, when you actually go to a drop-off,
yeah,
there was where we did the 30 meter training. It was by a drop-off, and we would go down, and they'd be telling you about it, and they would mm-hmm. guide you around, and we went to the end of it, and to see down another probably 30 meters below you, and this was a place called Shark Tooth or Shark Fin, and there was loads of I think they're black teeth reef sharks down there, tons and tons of them, all swimming around, and you just think, that is fucking scary. For somebody who's scared of the ocean and scared of sharks, I'm down here and I felt super calm about it. Because the thing is, when you're in the moment...
Yeah, you're just dealing with it.
You can't panic. You've got to be okay because you're in the bloody ocean. And okay. if you start panicking, your breathing goes funny. You won't be able to regulate your height and your depth, whatever.
Obviously, listeners, you don't know this, but Rob is bringing his family to Legoland tomorrow with me.
Yeah.
We're going on a little submarine ride. That's the sharks are the most impressive bit in the aquarium bit that we're going in.
So there's sharks in there.
There's sharks in there. But we're in a Lego submarine.
I think I'll be okay. Because my fear has like a fascination to it. So yep. I will always go to look at the sharks in aquariums. I'll go to them to look at them. You know, as I say, I face it. I don't run from it. But I will stand there thinking, oh my God, I'm glad I'm not in there.
Okay, well, is that all of... Now we've had that...
Sorry, now we've got a little bit off.
I think that's what people like. I know Karen likes it. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, hi, Karen, yeah.
I think that's what makes us different, mate, to be honest. To be able to go off and just tell a story, I like it. So no, don't ever apologise.
She gave me very good recommendations for podcasts.
Yesterday. Yeah, I've added it to my list.
I binged The Witch... whatever it's called, The Witch something, I should probably remember what it is.
The Witch Farm,
yeah, The Witch Farm. I binged it in like a day and a bit.
Nice.
Really, really good.
Okay. Lazarus Heist, binge that next.
Is that the same?
No, there's two seasons. It's basically about hackers and it's really good.
Did she write that as well?
No. That's one I'm recommending.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
It's one I'm recommending.
Right.
Anyway, my list then. So my list starts in 1988. Christmas 1988, I think, was when we got our ZX Spectrum. That was followed up by the NES we've just talked about that I bought at the car boot sale, and I'm putting that down as early 90s. And it used to be a car boot sale at my dad's cricket club, and I went to help him set it up one day, and that's where I came across it. Then we got donated our cousin's Atari ST, which was amazing. Then my brother bought his secondhand Mega Drive, and as I say, I melted the power supply on Sonic the Hedgehog 2, but the games that really, really stick with me on that one was Buster's Hidden Treasure, mm-hmm. which is the most amazing game, and it got really well reviewed as well, but I speak to people and they've never even heard of it.
I've heard the name, I've never played it.
It's a really good platformer. It's got kind of an overworld, a bit like Mario.
Yeah.
Mario 3, I should say. And yeah, you're going through it trying to rescue all your friends, and it's just really nicely animated. The sound is really good. But the other one I really firm, good, really nice memories about, Worms. That's the first time I ever played Worms was on the Mega Drive.
On the Mega Drive?
Oh, yeah.
I think it might have been on the computer for me. Lemmings I had on the Mega Drive. I enjoyed Lemmings.
Yeah, we had Lemmings 2, The Tribes.
I didn't have Lemmings 2.
Oh, that was a damn good game. And there was also a game called Mega Swiv, which was, again, really, really good. And Urban Strike.
Yeah, the helicopter.
Yeah, I never played Desert Jungle Strike, or... yeah.
Desert Strike, Jungle
or
Strike.
Or Desert Strike, but we played Urban Strike, yeah. And that was good.
They don't run well on the Retroid.
And I noticed that. Yeah. It's weird. Then I got the Game Boy that was given to me for Christmas. And that was the DMG one, the one up there, my original yellow Game Boy.
Yellow one, yeah.
Then my brother replaced his Mega Drive with a PS1. And again, those are probably, that era of gaming is probably one of my fondest memories of nearly wetting myself laughing so hard at playing the original GTA.
Did he trade it in?
No, I think he just gave away our Mega Drive and bought PS1. It was kind of before anyone did kind of trade-ins as much. And then I remember completing the first Tomb Raider on it and being blown away by demo discs.
Demo discs? Oh, man.
PS1 demo discs deserves an entire section to itself.
Just like with PlayStation magazines and stuff. Mm. They used to have them. Yeah, oh, demo. We lived off those. Mark, my cousin and I, we lived off those things.
Well, that's where we first tried. I remember he had his PS1 and we heard about GTA coming out. And we ran down to Ramesh, the legendary newsagent, and bought the official PlayStation magazine because it had the 5-minute time demo of GTA.
Did it?
It did. And after 5 minutes, cool. It basically reset and you could play it again for another five minutes.
I've played that demo on someone's computer.
And we played it non-stop. And literally, my brother went out the next day and bought it.
Yeah.
It was such a good game. But anyway, then weirdly, there's quite a gap. And this is kind of then brings me to the first console I bought for myself. And that was the PSP. PlayStation Portable. And I bought it from Littlewoods. And I bought it with Vice City Stories.
Yeah.
Or was no, Liberty City Stories.
Liberty City Stories, yeah.
And they sent two. They sent two PSPs and two copies of the game. And after 2 months, no one came knocking. I got no emails.
Did you leave it in the box and everything?
Yeah, I just left it in the box and went, and if in 2 months' time they haven't come, I'll do something with this.
Yeah.
2 months came, I took it to CEX, traded it in for a load of games, and I had a nice little PSP collection for a while.
Wicked.
Then I got a Game Boy Advance. That's when I was working at Game. I think I traded the PSP for it, actually. Then I bought, again, I think these are slightly out of order now.
Yeah.
But I bought secondhand from my best friend at the time, Sega Saturn. I was working at Game and I bought an Atari Jaguar because it was this really weird thing. We came in and he's like, right, clear that shelf. We've got a load of Atari Jaguars come in. Well, the Atari Jaguar went out years prior and it just turned out Game had found some old stock and they had a load of games, a load of extra controllers and a load of consoles, all fully boxed, untouched, and I bought the original Atari Jaguar, an extra controller and the games, and they were like £20 for the console, 10 of us each for the games. I wish I knew what had happened to it.
It'd never happen now.
No, absolutely not.
If they found a 360 they'd be on eBay. They wouldn't be selling a cheap adventure.
Exactly. Then I bought a Nintendo 64, but that was secondhand from the same person I bought the Saturn from.
Yep.
Then I bought from the same person again, because basically what they were doing is they were upgrading to the next console, so I bought their old console. So when I bought the N64, he used that money to go towards his Dreamcast. I then bought his Dreamcast because he went off to go and get a PS2. And the Dreamcast, I loved the Dreamcast.
Everyone
loves the Dreamcast when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Then my brother went and bought a PS2. And this was a little while after it had been released. And he's like, oh, I want Grand Theft Auto 3. It's when GTA 3 was released that he decided he wanted one. So what I did was traded in my Game Boy Advance and all the games I had. And then he put his money in and he bought the PS2. So that was that. Then I went and bought a GameCube. And that came from good old Dixon's in St. Albans. And that came with an inheritance check. It's just like, oh, some uncle left you money. Brilliant. I went and spent it straight away.
Yeah.
So I bought the GameCube. And that came with, I think, the original one. I got two controllers, NHL hit 2005, I'm pretty sure it was, and Burnout.
I missed two consoles off my list. Ooh. The Wii and the Wii U.
Oh, naughty boy. But yeah, the Burnout, what a game. And the NHL Hits games, they were so... Did you ever play them?
We played them. Mark and I used to play them on, I think, maybe the Mega Drive.
I just love it. NHL. They were fast sport game with a bit of Street Fighter thrown in. Yeah, that was the best bit.
We used to do the Street Fighter.
And a great soundtrack as well. They had Limp Bizkit on it. Yeah. I remember that, always playing
super
that.
Good games for people like us who probably don't really like hockey.
Oh, and Luigi's Mansion. Again, pucker game. Then I got the Xbox, and I got that when I was working at Game, and I did the midnight opening for it. My job was the pre-sales for it, and brilliant. An N-Gage.
You had an N-Gage.
I had an N-Gage. I got it bought for Christmas one year when Woolworths were selling them at £25 each on
That's
pay
the
as
Nokia
you go.
Phone thing. Yeah, an old friend of mine had that too, yeah.
Then I had the DSi. I bought that one night from Game in Hemel. Then I bought a Wii from Smith's in Barnet. I was working my first proper ambulance job.
My Wii was a
And I was driving home and I wanted a Wii, but nowhere had stock. And I stopped off at Smith's in Barnet and he just said, oh yeah, we've got five. No one seems to have come in for them. So it's like,
how good was that console? Seriously.
It was brilliant.
The Wii, and by the way, so the Wii U was a birthday gift for me, from a completely surprise out off the course, as a gift from Miranda to me. One of my favourite consoles. I can't believe I missed it on the list. The Wii U is so good.
And I've never played
on one. I'm so sad that it gets such a bad rap, because that controller is a bit bulky, but it's just wicked. When you play Zelda on that, like Twilight Princess on that console.
Yep.
What an experience. It's so good.
I have never played on a Wii U, so you have to set yours up at some point.
Yeah,
so
oh, yeah. When it's all done, you come round, because I've got some PC games I want you to play.
Nice. Okay, then I got the 360. Didn't get the original release. I got the updated model that had HDMI straight out and the Wi-Fi straight away.
Yeah.
Then I had a Switch. I bought that actually when I got my job at Berry World.
I didn't lost all the Nintendo consoles. I've got a Switch. Of course, I've got a Switch.
I bought that on the first day that I got the job at Berry World. I went to Argos and went, I finally got money. And I bought the Mario Odyssey Special, and I literally completed that in a night. I loved
it. Got a dirty secret for you.
Ooh.
I've got two games in my collection that are digital.
Oh, I've got some digital
Mario
games.
Odyssey is one of them, because it was the only way I could get it for not an extortionate price.
Yeah, well...
And in stock, by the way. Then no one had it.
Fair enough. Then I bought a 2DS XL secondhand. Yeah. Got it really cheap, and it's a really good console.
It's a good console, yeah.
I bought a PS4 Pro just so I could play GTA 4 and get back into console gaming, because I hadn't really done anything and the Switch wasn't really tickling my fancy at that point. Then I bought the Xbox One S so I could play GTA 5 with a friend and start Sea of Thieves.
Yep.
And then shortly after that, turn over the page because it's that many,
yep.
I got a Series S, which I got at release, and Smith's again. They seem to have a really good supply. That was Smith's in Enfield, just randomly had one in stock, so I bought it. And then 2 weeks later, Game said, oh, we've got stock. I logged on. They said, at 10 o'clock, we'll release the stock. At 9:55, I refreshed, and it said, do you want to go ahead with your purchase?
For a Series X.
Yeah, for a Series X this time. So it's just like, yeah.
So did you trade in your S?
Seriously. No, that's what I have I gave to Kay to have in the front room so she could have her own one and play her own games.
Waiting for them to start appearing at good prices on eBay. Because you can do stuff with those.
Exactly,
like to do.
Then I got the PS5 recently through EE, and then I got the Retroid Pocket and the Oculus Quest 2, and I wasted way far too much money, I think.
I'd love to get an Oculus Quest. I think I might have told you privately how I was going to get one, and the day I went to get it was the day after they increased its price by like £100.
Ouch. Yeah, I remember you telling me, and then you didn't get the free games either.
Yeah, so I haven't got it now.
So that's our video game history, and I've got to say, they looking back and realizing how much money must have spent overall, I would hate to attribute money to that and start adding up.
I don't want to know, because I'm still doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So
particularly on games that I used to own, I'm buying again.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'd love to go back in time and tell my younger self, just don't trade that in, just keep it. You'll want that. I've got a lot of N64 games that I cannot get hold of anymore. And I've...
Or you can, and they're such a stupid price.
But I don't know where they are. I don't ever actually remember selling my N64 stuff, but I'm missing loads of it. My dad doesn't know where it is at house. I haven't got it with me at our house. Don't know where it is. But, yeah.
Now, I was going to do this bit after we do the quiz, but let's do it now. Just pick two or three of your consoles that you've got on your list there and tell me kind of your favourite memory. Do you want me to go first while you have a look, or are you happy to...
I wrote some already. You can go first, but I have written some.
Okay, well, I will say, so I've already done a couple, but let's go back to the original Xbox. So I've told this story so many times. I was working at Game Watford in the time, not the electronics boutique in Watford that became Game, but the Game that was in the main Harlequin. And most of the staff in there were laughing at the Xbox, going, Microsoft doing a Gamescom, how ridiculous, it's stupid. So I ended up having to do all the pre-sales whenever I was working, and we did well. And it came to the midnight opening, and I remember going, we got there about 8 o'clock at night, and there'd been pizza ordered by Game so we could eat pizza. And we had in that store these two big rear projection TVs. They weren't plasma, they were these giant box TVs. And they were one on each side of the door, one on the left, one on the right. And originally they had, I think they would have had the PlayStation and another console running, or a DVD player running, showing adverts. Well, we had an Xbox set up on each of them. We had a link cable running over the door, and we were playing Halo 8 player until it got towards midnight.
Yeah.
And that was my first experience. And it's like, I knew this was going to be good. And I really sold my heart out on that. And I remember we were sold out inside of 10 minutes, hit midnight, queue out the door, boom, sold everything, all the stuff out the door. And then we got to the end of the night and our boss said, that was really, really, really good. There are some left that weren't claimed, which makes me more think he put them to one side and said, if anyone wants them now, I will do my discount. And we basically got a super discount on them. So I remember leaving there with the original Xbox, WRC, was it WRC Rally? No, Rally Sport, I think it was called. Mm. Original Halo, extra controller, and the DVD remote for a really good price. And that console is still one of my favourite all-time Xbox consoles, because it had things like Reckless, the Yakuza missions, which I must lend you at some point, because it is such a good game.
Big Duke controllers you had.
Yeah, Big Duke controllers, which I still love. Reckless, it looks amazing. It genuinely, at points, looks like a 360 game. It's amazing what they actually did with it. There. Yeah, it's right in front of you. So the original Xbox, and that was also my first time of ever playing Half-Life 2. Because I didn't have a PC at this point.
It's the orange box. Orange box for 360.
You could get the orange box, I don't think for the Xbox. I think you're right. I think that was 360. Yeah. But I had Half-Life 2 for the original Xbox. I played that, even with the poor frame rate, I played that through the beginning to the end, and I loved every second of it.
So having on the Xbox, you wouldn't have had to do the achievement of carrying the gnome all the way through.
No.
Because the original Xbox didn't have achievements, so that came with 360. So my first experience with the Xbox was in America on holiday with an old friend of mine, Lloyd. Mm-hmm. They had one in the villa with Halo and a few other games.
Oh, remember you telling me about this? Yeah,
in the evenings when we had nothing to do because, you know, it's bedtime or whatever, we'd sit there and we completed Halo on holiday. But then I didn't get an Xbox console until just before T was born. It come up on eBay when I was going through getting stuff. Someone was trying to sell an Xbox with 100 games. They wanted £200. And I just messaged him saying, I'll give you 100. And he went, okay.
Nice.
So for £100, I got an Xbox, two controllers, and 100
you
games.
See, I can't top the games, but I can top the cost.
Maybe not quite 100 games.
Literally a year ago on the reuse page on Facebook, someone just said, old Xbox console needs to be collected today. And I went and collected in mint condition, original Xbox. Well, mint condition. It wasn't boxed. Yeah. But original controller, all the cables for free.
Wicked.
I'm not going to complain at that.
Yeah.
I could have taken that to CEX that day and made myself 50, 60 quid if I wanted to. I'm not going to, because it's a console I love.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my favourite Xbox movie. That release date and us all being there and realising that actually, wow, the public really like this. And then it just so happened, the next day we all got a message from the manager saying, well done for last night. The Watford store did the most pre-sales, did the most on-the-day sales, and made the highest profit on those sales because of all the extras that were sold with it. So we were dead chuffed with that. We were really chuffed with that. So that's my first memory. But why don't you choose one now, and we'll go backwards and forwards.
I would say, I mean, we spent a lot of time, Mark and I, kind of playing all of his big brother Chris's consoles. He had everything. I haven't got it on my list, but what was that game called? Do you remember Seaman?
Dreamcast. Came with the with the microphone. We very, very odd game.
What we used to do, so we'd wait for his brother to go to work, or because he was a lot older than us. He still is a lot older than us. And we'd then go into his room and play all his games. He would get like imports for PlayStation.
I was going to say, because I didn't think it was released in the UK.
No, so I remember very specifically, he had Final Fantasy VIII in Japanese. And he had like a game FAQ printout of the translations.
Nice, okay.
And walkthrough on what he had to press to get through things. Yeah, I remember I was playing Seaman. But specifically, those were the days really of the N64. For us, and we'd, you know, he had a lot of it before I did. So first time I saw like Mario Kart was there, Mario 64 was there. We played a lot of GoldenEye together, and then when I finally got one, it was two games specifically, Banjo-Kazooie,
yep,
and Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, and I lived on those two games.
See, I've never got on with the Zelda games. I really enjoyed the first one on Switch, but everything prior, I've never really got into. I don't know why. It's just not my style of game, I guess.
If I'm picking game series, not game specifically, yeah, but game series that are my favourite, I've got two. Zelda games are my favourite series, and Guild Wars are my favourite. So I've got two favorites.
Right, okay.
They're not my favourite games of all time, but they are my favourite series of games.
Fair enough.
Yeah, N64, really, I've got such amazing memories of. And for a long period of time, it's only recently I haven't been able to do it because of being a dad, you don't have the time. I played Banjo-Kazooie from start to finish at least once a year.
Oh,
either
okay.
On the N64 or when it got put onto the Xbox Arcade.
The Rare Replay version, yeah?
No, before then, when they did Xbox Arcade,
they had an arcade version.
And then they had a Rare Replay version. Now, the good thing about that is they have different achievements. So that I could get all the achievements all over again by playing the Rare Replay version.
I forgot you're an achievement whore along with Dan.
So I've got 100% achievements for Banjo-Kazooie twice.
Nice.
Xbox, which is quite cool for me.
I think I'd say, so going to the N64, my fond memories for that would be GoldenEye.
Yeah.
My friend Dan at the time used to come over and see my friend Dave. And we used to go over to David's in Harpenden. And Dan had the N64. He had the four different controllers, all different colors. He had the N64 satchel bag that it all fit into.
Well,
and that was the first time I played GoldenEye on that. It was just blew me away.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my other friend, the one that I bought the N64 from, bought the N64 GoldenEye edition. So he had the gold controller with it. And oh, GoldenEye was kind of my game for that console, but there's one other game that I would say is better than GoldenEye in my books anyway. Rogue Squadron.
Rogue Squadron's really cool, yeah.
It's such a good-looking game.
Yeah.
Especially with the expansion pack. You need the expansion pack to get like the most out of it. But that is a gorgeous-looking game. Taking down an AT-AT with the sand speeders. Just lots of love for that.
A game that's really good in it. Not graphically very good, even back then. Body Harvest.
Oh, I remember telling you about that. It's a bit. I've looked at pictures. It reminded me very much of Starship Troopers.
Yeah, it's kind of like. There's another kind of game that's out nowadays where you shoot bugs. I don't remember what it's called. But yeah, it's taking like different vehicles, not just like tanks and stuff, but like farmers' trucks, driving them around. And you have to kind of get to places. Open world, like, but in an N64, an open world game, crazy.
That is actually.
Did you ever play Scorched Planet?
Yes.
Very similar to Scorched Planet,
right? Okay,
without a flying path. Scorched Planet is very similar to that.
Okay, well, you know, I'm just looking at the time, realizing we're coming up to an hour and a half already. So let's not do any more favourites. We can always come back to these another time. But listening, it's nice to hear that actually. You've pretty much had a very similar history to me on the consoles.
Yeah.
I can't help but think, basically, though, we've both been absolute gluttons and just bought everything that's come out.
Yeah, particularly as I got older. Particularly as I got older, when I was buying them myself. Yeah, And I promised myself this generation I wouldn't get everyone.
Yeah,
and I've kind of just ended up with everyone.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same place. But are you ready, Rob, to be a video game nerd?
Is there music?
No, there's not, but I will add music. I'm not that prepared.
Okay, ready? Wait, so, pause for a second. Oh, what great music.
You see, I'm going to be a git. I'm not going to put music in now. So, yeah, I've got on the notes there that I've got, what have I got? So you want to be a video game nerd. Oh, then yeah. On my sheet, I've got who wants to be a console nerd? Because actually looking at it, it is pretty much just about consoles. So there are some prizes. They're not not good prizes like your birthday prizes, okay?
Every prize is a good prize. Look, I mean, I would say, if we're not using nerd as a derogative term, because I don't think we do anymore, I certainly am, and I know a lot about games, but it's quite specific knowledge I have about games. So it'd be interesting to think what kind of questions you think I might know about these
video
games.
Well, let's see.
Okay.
Question one.
Mm-hmm.
Which... Oh, God.
Should I get a soundboard out again?
No. Which of the following years saw the release of the Game Boy model DMG-01 in Europe? Is it 88, 89, 90, or 91?
So anyone who's looking at that camera just saw me eye roll, because I'm not going to know this. So ask the question again.
So the original Game Boy model.
Yep.
I.e. the DMG-01.
I have one, yep.
When was it released in Europe? 88, 89, 90, or 91?
And you see, I can't 91.
Even, I can't even cheat because we're being recorded.
It beeped. 91.
Oh, what beeped? Oh, did it? Oh, dear. So it might be that we're not recording at this point. Let me actually check. It could be that, yeah, maybe it's a...
It just beeped.
It's getting a bit hot. It's beeped again.
No, it beeped. Literally, when I said it beeped.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Well, I'll see what's going on with that in a moment. No, it's 1990.
Oh. Yeah, I was going, like I was going to pick it. I was going to pick 88, but went for 90, because I started thinking, how old was I? This is like when you did that other quiz with me about guessing the years.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how old was I? Work my way through. I was only a year out.
Yeah, no, you weren't far out. 19...
I got mine in 1991.
Well, anyway, 1990.
No idea.
Question two. And this one has a prize attached
to it.
Oh,
okay, right. So I didn't get a prize for the first one. Okay.
Right. Oh, well, there wasn't a prize attached to the first one. So, okay. Yeah. Question two. And this is worth an orange club.
Okay, right.
The Game Boy is considered to be fourth generation. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, well, now you do. The Game Boy is thought to be fourth generation.
What are the three before it?
That takes you all the way back to things like the Atari.
Okay.
It's still recording. I think it's just whinging. Either that was run out of space, but we'll find out later. Back to the question. Game Boy is considered to be fourth generation. Name two more fourth generation handhelds. So the clue I'll give, just think about any handhelds that came out around the same time as the original Game Boy.
It was the Game Gear.
There's one. And there's only two others it could be. One that I wouldn't imagine you'll get because it wasn't really popular here.
Is it Neo Geo Pocket?
That was much later. I'll give you another chance.
Mm.
Yeah, the Neo Geo Pocket didn't come out until mid-90s.
So you might hear me go,
Made by one of the bigger video game companies, well, one of the biggest video game companies beginning with the letter A.
You said Atari earlier.
So yeah, that was the original Atari, kind of Pong ones were first generation. Now, there was a game console that came out very much like the Game Gear, but the Game Gear proved more popular, and obviously the Game Boy was more popular than both of those.
Is the Lynx handheld? Is it the Atari Lynx?
It is the Atari Lynx. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. Not that I was giving you an assistant, but have.
Hey, nice.
An orange club.
Thanks. I'm going to eat it now.
You could eat it now if you want. It's up to you. Okay, question three. The fifth generation. So the next generation on.
Yeah.
Exploded onto the scene in 1993. What processor was the most common for this generation? Is it 64-bit, 32-bit, 16-bit, or 8-bit? So 1993 onwards, which processor bit was the most common bit architecture? Was it 64, 32, 16, or 8?
Not 64. 32.
It was 32.
Boom, say, it's boom, not boom. 64. It's got to be 32.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of an advert I saw on TikTok where I might have linked it to you about, it was going on about a console being a 32-bit console.
See, that it's a tough one because you've got the Jaguar coming around then, and it was claiming to be 64-bit, which kind of technically, but mathematically it was, but it cheated to get to that number. And there's a whole host of things to talk about.
That's why the N64 is called the 64, right?
Yeah, it was the Ultra 64. Yeah. To make sure that wasn't one of the questions I chose. okay. This one's worth a prize.
Hey!
To the closest million. It's multiple choice. You've got one in four choice here. How many worldwide units were sold of the PlayStation 2? Hint, a fuckload. 155, 100, 205, or 173. And I'll be nice, you can use the typical who wants to be a millionaire things.
I
want to
find a friend.
You have no friends, but you can try if you want.
Go on then.
Hello, Rob.
Hello, is this Auntie Julie again?
Yeah, go on then, love. It's Auntie Julie. How are you doing, my love?
Fine, darling. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's very nice. I don't get very many phone calls. People don't like me, you see. I keep talking shit and I can't get... It just ruins things, apparently, love.
I talk
about my hemorrhoids all the time. So, anyway, what are you doing?
Tell me about your hemorrhoids.
Oh, they're big, juicy and... Oh, no, sorry. We've had to cut her off there because... We've run out of time. I'm so sorry. You can phone her afterwards. She is your auntie, of course. However, we did also do the Ask the Audience for you, and that's left you with answers 155 or 205.
I'm going to say the highest one, 205. No, okay. I'm thinking the one before.
Oh, what, you mean 155?
Yes,
well done.
Yay! And
you've won a mint club.
Ooh, nice.
Rob's not going to sleep tonight. He's going to have a sugar hit.
I'm going to eat them in Legoland tomorrow.
Okay, question five. Which of these Xbox 360 code names is not real?
Okay.
Is not real.
Is not real.
Is it the Xbox Next?
Mm-hmm.
The Xenon, the Xbox 2, or the green machine with the massive peen?
Is this a trick question? Because I can imagine D being actually a real answer. I'm going to say it's coffee dick.
Correct. Funny enough, Microsoft did not decide to nickname their console the green machine with the massive peen.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a meme, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, it could have. It should be now.
Yeah.
Okay, final question. As I only did six questions because I wasn't expecting it to kind of go on this long this episode. The PS1 was measured using what popular product? So in all the advertising... It was done quite often, and in the TV show saying, look at what they've done to the PS1, was it measured against a Dairy Milk bar, a packet of crisps, a VHS cassette, or a Nokia 5110?
I'd like to think it's a Nokia 5110.
The brick.
Yeah. It's a chocolate bar.
Oh, you're wrong.
What was it?
It was a packet of crisps.
Really?
They were commonly held up, of what I remember anyway, they were held up against no bigger than a Walker's packet of crisps. You now have the PS1. And if you think about
they were a bit bigger than a Walker's packet of crisps.
They weren't that much bigger.
How big were Walker's packets of crisps?
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, Doritos maybe. But yeah, they were measured up against packet of crisps from what I remember. Kind of, it's that, they've done this huge technology change. That means... I'm going to eat your penguin.
Oh.
No, I'm not that much of an arsehole. But hang on. Why was the penguin popular?
Because he always wore a suit, I don't know.
Because he was an ice guy.
Oh,
go on, you can have your penguin. And you know what?
Thanks.
You did so well, you can have the final prize, which I've just kind of pulled out of my arsehole earlier because I found it and thought, oh no. There you go. You can have your own Star Trek com badge.
Oh, wicked. Thanks.
Not to do with anything, the fact that the quiz was to do anything with Star Trek there, but yeah, that's that.
Well, we've got something Star Trek-y in my hands. Another thing about Discovery, no one walks anywhere.
Oh no, you've got to run.
No. In the future, the teleporters are completely different. Everyone's got like a personal teleporter. So no one walks off camera. They just disappear.
Oh, for God's
sake. They kind of like turn and start walking and...
Oh, and if you want...
They teleport.
You want to talk about something... I really don't like the animation they chose for the Discovery jumping. It just always looks like they're throwing it off the bottom of the screen.
Oh, they don't do that so much now.
Spinny flips, and it's gone from the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, I feel like they don't really do that at all now. He just kind of just goes. Just goes bonk.
Well, of course they don't, because it's 1,000 years in the future, and in theory, their spore drive is now old technology. That's like horse and cart to us driving around in a hybrid.
You haven't watched it, you don't know about the burn.
Oh, I've heard about the burn.
Yeah, so none of that's going on, mate.
Oh, fuck off. Anyway, thank you very much for everyone that's been listening. It is that time of the episode where I read out the social media. So this week, you can find us on Twitter at @channel84 or at @flatrob. You can find us on Facebook, type in the Channel 84 Variety Show, and you can find us on there. On Instagram, you can do _channel84. On a webpage, which has lots of blog posts and funny things and happy things and reviews, you can find that at channel84.co.uk. If you are someone that wants to write something, you can email us at podcast@channel84.co.uk. And if you want to share the podcast, either share any of those above or share pod.link/channel84, which will give anyone that wants to listen to our show the easiest choice of how to find us, whether that's Spotify, whether that's Apple, whether that is Pocket Casts, it will give them all those links. And that, ladies and gents, is that. That's been a good show, Rob.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed that.
Thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now we've got to record a little bonus bit, which is going to, honestly, I think, take us longer to record than this, and I hope it doesn't, because I've just looked at the time. So love you
bye-bye. Bye. Wave at the camera. Bye
bye. Oh yeah, it'll be up on YouTube.